Today's presentation is all about the interaction of tillage system with crop and soil responses to crop rotation. The view from long-term experiments, and I should acknowledge my co-authors being Joe Lauer, Warren Dick, just wave your hand over there, and Glover Triplett, is he here? There, thank you, Glover. Okay, going to start off the slide with basically saying that when we look at, this is a region where some of these studies are going to come from, basically the eastern part of the Corn Belt. When we look at these regions, these are, particularly in Wisconsin, it is an area where there is already a higher ratio of corn than soybean acres. In some of the other locations that we're going to look at, each arrow points to a long-term study. It's in areas that are perhaps roughly equal in terms of corn and soybean acreage, but you have to note that this study was for 2005, and so this was really taken as a snapshot of the relative proportion of corn and soybean acres before the 19% increase in corn acreage that we just observed in 2007. Tillage choices for corn after soybean versus corn after corn. The value of all four of these studies is that they have examined tillage options as part of the rotation study. And the question we're going to try to answer today is what have we learned from the incorporation of these tillage treatments in these long-term trials? And is the tillage differences bigger or smaller than the rotation differences? I'm going to start today's presentation with the very famous Triplett-Van Doren tillage and rotation plots in Ohio. And we're going to start looking at two locations. The one is the Wooster soil, and then the other one on clay soil is the Hoyettville location. And these are trials that were begun by Triplett and Van Doren back in 1962, if I remember right. I'm going to start with a little bit of a look at yield and then go into soil properties. And I need to apologize almost immediately. This presentation will not be up to my standards because I'm going to be switching from metric units to bushels per acre in some cases. So I will thoroughly disgust all of you if you have a preference for one or the other, because I'll be mixing them. But having said that, information that Dr. Dick gave to me is essentially looking at mean yields. And the yellow here is continuous maize or continuous corn, and the green is rotation with soybeans. And you can see during the 5 decades, basically, of research at Wooster, that number one, it's kind of interesting just to observe that yields are pretty flat in that whole time period, despite using advanced genetics, still only at about 8 tons per hectare. Number two, that there's very little rotation effect. This rotation effect here is averaged for two tillage systems. The two tillage systems are no-till and plow, and essentially, if I've got this straight, Warren, correct me if I'm wrong, but the green is a no-till. Is that correct? Yeah. Were you sleeping already?
No.
I'm sorry. Okay, got it now. Thank you. So this is the advantage of the no-till relative to the zero line being the plow. And yeah, that's what I was going to say. At this site, you have a history of almost immediate positive response, initially at around 0.5 ton per hectare and currently averaging about a ton, let's say 1.2 tons per hectare, to the no-till. So in a way, the tillage differences here are bigger than the rotation differences at this location. I took some data that was given to me last Friday from Dr. Dick's technician, and I kind of converted them over into bushels per acre because that's the way that they came to me. And I thought it might be interesting to do two things with this. Number one is to divide this data in two ways. One is looking over the entire time period, 1963 to 2006, and number two, to look at the last 10 years. And I also chose to do so for a rotation that was not included in that previous slide, and that's called corn-oats meadow. In this rotation experiment, as in all of the others that I'll be addressing this morning, all phases of all rotations are present each year. And I thought it would be interesting just to show, first of all, that there's a corn oats meadow is, number one, yielding about 9% higher than continuous corn over the 42 years of this particular study. There is no difference, as I pointed out earlier, between continuous corn and corn-soybean. Absolutely zero. And that's true whether you're no-tilling or whether you're plowing. But I do want to point out this corn oats meadow situation, about a 9% increase compared to continuous corn as well as compared to corn soybean. And I also want to point out that here the plow yields compare a little bit more favorably to the no-till. But in many cases here we're seeing this like 2-ton, or that would be something in the neighborhood of a 30 bushel response to the no-till system. The other thing I wanted to do is just look at the last 10 years. And in the last 10 years, if anything, the rotation advantage for this corn oats meadow situation has increased now, so that basically there's a 15% increase. And with the no-till, and about a 14% if we compare the plow systems. And those values are somewhat higher than what we had earlier in the overall 42-year period. This is soil at the Wooster site, and basically shows some of the horizon in the depths going down to 75 centimeters or deeper. And I do want to point out that this is the no-till soil over here, much deeper A horizon before it transitions into the B. And in the plow soil, I want to point out, number one, how different the soil looks, and number two, that it is shallower. The Wooster site is characterized by slope as well as rather significant erosion on the moldboard plow plots. And so what we're having here essentially is a combination of the tillage effect plus, of course, the soil loss over time. And I would argue that's probably one of the reasons why we see such a dramatic yield improvement for no-till. This is on a silt loam soil. This study has been excellent in terms of capturing carbon concentration changes over time. So the no-till is shown here versus the plow tillage early on. This would be, the study began in 1962 or 63, 1980, so that would be about 17 years later. Quite a bit higher concentration near the surface, no differences below about 10 centimeters. 1993, the concentration of carbon in the no-till system continues to increase. Now it's about 3%, and in 2003, now it's about 4%. And generally speaking, no differences at depths deeper than about 10 centimeters. The gain in the no-till system, if we look at 62, 80, 93, 2003 is shown in this picture slide. So it represents a fairly substantial gain in the no-till system and a loss from the original carbon values in the plow system. Now, how much of that is due to erosion versus straight loss because of microbial respiration, I couldn't answer that. There is the second study in Ohio is on a clay soil. And again, here I'm going to start off by showing the yield trends over time for the rotation soybean on the rotation corn soybean on the top, the continuous corn shown below here. You see a bigger rotation effect now, averaging perhaps about 3/4 of a ton per hectare over that 42 or 3-year time period. These individual points are just averages for that decade. And in terms of now, the yield difference between no-till and plow essentially shows that there is a reduction in yield for the no-till system, and we're going to look a little bit more closely at that in this slide here. So where is the reduction in the no-till happening? Reduction in the no-till is essentially only happening in continuous corn. This first set of data is over the full 42-year period. Showing a reduction here with no-till, but a gain of no-till corn when it follows soybeans in rotation. The other thing I wanted to point out was just what is the rotation advantage here. It's a 17% advantage in the no-till system for rotation, but only a zero advantage for rotation in the mulled plow system. In the corn oats meadow, there's a 13% advantage in the no-till system, a 5% advantage over that 42-year period in the mulled plow system. Now we go to the last 10 years. What's happening here? Well, you can kind of say that plow, if anything, is perhaps trending a little lower, although I don't know whether that's significant. The no-till has an 11% advantage compared to the continuous corn no-till. And here, again, the corn oats meadow situation is a 22% yield advantage, which is kind of interesting. Both Wooster and Hoytville locations are essentially showing that the first year corn following that oats meadow situation is yielding substantially higher, perhaps about 10% higher than the corn soybean rotation. And it also shows that the differences between plow and no-till in the corn oats meadow are very small. In terms of carbon changes, again, the scientists at Ohio have done this in 1980, 96, and 2005. They show going up to 4.5% near the surface and perhaps as much as 5%, so they show some accumulation continues in the after 41 years in this particular example. They also show what I think is kind of interesting is just sort of what happens at depth. Initially, it appeared that the mulled plow tillage was somewhat higher in carbon concentration at deeper depths. Then it switches, and no-till appears a little higher, and then over here it goes the other way again, where there, if anything, is a little bit more carbon at deeper depths with mulled plowing. I'm going to switch now to Wisconsin. To Joe Lauer's study. Now, Joe Lauer presented that in the first presentation this morning, and if you weren't here, basically he's got a situation where he's looking at the corn yields of corn following soybeans in that two-crop rotation always, and that's being compared to first, second, third, fourth, and fifth-year corn following 5 years of soybeans, and then there's continuous corn over here. Now, what I've decided to do here is to take his, or he's given me this data for both tillage systems that were used in this 20-year study, conventional till and no-till. And you kind of notice a couple of things. First of all, in a corn-soybean rotation, there's absolutely no difference between conventional and no-till. In the first year of corn following 5 years of soybean, again, no difference. Second year of corn, now we're getting a difference. There's about a 5% yield advantage for conventional till. Third year corn, now there's a 9% yield advantage for conventional till compared to no-till, and that continues. Now in continuous corn, the difference between the conventional till and no-till is about a 12% difference. Again, it's interesting to look at what's happening in the last 10 years compared to the first 10 years, and the biggest difference here is that Joe Lauer must have figured out how to do no-till corn. That's what I would attribute that to. These are the soybean yields for exactly the same experiment. Again, soybean yields following corn in just that two-crop rotation, soybean yields after 5 years of corn, and again, showing how well the no-till basically responds relative to the conventionally tilled program, with generally speaking, no significant differences within an individual year in that of that particular rotation treatment. I'm going to change now to the silty clay loam soil, which is in West Lafayette, Indiana. Just west of Purdue University. This again, as in the Wisconsin trial, is a mollisol, prairie soil, fairly high organic matter, poorly drained, has systematic tile drainage, and this one happens to be a silty clay loam. And again, we have just corn and soybeans to compare. We don't have the advantage of the oats and meadow that the Ohio folks had. And again, I'm going to choose to look at things over the entire time period. This study began in 1975 with people like Jerry Mannering and Griffith and Sam Parsons. And unfortunately, Jerry Mannering is no longer with us, but I have a real spot in my heart for him because he was also the external examiner at my PhD defense, and he consented to the arguments of everyone else and allowed me to pass. So had he not allowed me to pass, I might never have made it to Purdue. But in any case, so here we are, back in what's happening here in corn following soybeans compared to continuous corn. And here again, you can see that the tillage differences are bigger than the rotation differences. And that's particularly evident in very poor no-till yields in continuous corn. These percentage points here are the gain due to rotation within that tillage system. And here we've got an 18% gain compared to no-till continuous corn. In a chisel plow system, it's a 7% gain. And in the moldboard plow situation, it's a 4% gain when we look at the entire 32-year period. You switch that forward to the last 10 years, and what do we see? Well, we had an 18% gain for no-till, and it's still 18% even in the last 10-year period of this 32-year study. But what is interesting to note is that the rotation advantage within the moldboard plow and in the chisel plow systems is somewhat less now in the last 10 years than it was earlier. And I think this is kind of important. First of all, it's important to dispel the myth that the rotation advantage for corn is always 10%. That's simply not true. The rotation advantage for corn very much depends not just on the length of the break crops, as Joe Lauer talked about, but it's also very much dependent on the tillage system that's used. And currently we're running at about 2 or 3% difference in the moldboard plow system and still an 18% difference at these high yield levels in a no-till system. This shows yield trends with time, and in this particular case they are shown with the rotation corn soybean in blue. Continuous corn is in red. And this is shown basically just for the moldboard plow system, and what I want to point out particularly here is that the moldboard plow corn, continuous corn now, is rather consistently lower by about this 3% than the rotation corn soybean. And that trend really hasn't changed over the last 32 years. In terms of soybeans, the yield, this is in metric now, so you have to switch over. And this is soybean yields at about 53 bushels per acre or so. Moldboard plow and no-till, and you can kind of see that the no-till soybean yields are a little bit less in the 32-year period. Continuous soybeans are shown here, ranging in yield from 3.1 to 3.2 metric tons per hectare. Yield gain for rotation doesn't change very much in soybeans. You get about a 10% gain for rotation, whether the tillage system is moldboard or chisel or no-till. It's all about the same level of response. What is interesting about soybean yields, though, following corn, is that gradually what's happened over time is the green is now the soybean, and any point on this line represents a five-year moving average of the previous five-year responses for that particular system. And what it's showing is that now we're essentially have no-till yields when soybeans follow with corn that are consistently superior to the chisel plow yields. I think that's very very interesting. In the early days, no-till was less. Now, basically since the mid-1990s, no-till is higher. This study has had the opportunity with federal funding of USDA to look at carbon concentrations in detail down to a depth of 1 meter. And essentially, the results essentially show that no-till on a concentration basis has higher carbon concentrations, as you would expect. The biggest thing that we did not expect so much in this study is that at the 30 to 50 centimeter depth, we had higher carbon concentration in the plow than we did in the no-till. Now, this is on a concentration basis. This is also done for a situation where we are every year moldboard plowing to a depth of about 22 to 24 centimeters. So this increase in carbon is occurring below the depth of any tillage disturbance. It's also fair to say that just looking at concentrations alone for carbon doesn't really tell you very much, because the soils may also be different in density. And so as part of the study, we looked at, and this is just summarized here, the first 30 centimeters no-till soil is denser. So if the concentration is higher in no-till than it is in moldboard plow, if you really want to know the total carbon captured, then you have to calculate the overall carbon on a mass equivalent basis. So you have to have the same soil mass. This is looking at total soil mass by depth increments, and again showing this large difference now for the plowed situation from 30 to 50 centimeters, or 12 to 20 inches basically. And this shows the overall results, and the overall results here are for soybean corn rotation, continuous corn, and the mean of the two tillage systems. And first of all, they show that after 28 years in this particular study, there was very little rotation effect. There was a small gain for no-till relative to plow in the soybean system, but overall this difference was a very minor 3 or 4%, a very, very small difference. So even though we're getting massive improvements at the surface, we're not gaining very much total carbon sequestered when you measure down well beyond the deep depths of tillage and when you adjust things to the same soil mass. This is total soil nitrogen, again showing the same story, essentially a gain with the moldboard plow at the deeper depth. This contrasts with another study that we published earlier, and that was essentially looking at the soil mass in another long-term experiment conducted with USDA funds at the West Lafayette Station for the same molosol, showing the total soil carbon mass for no-till for 24 years compared to chisel plow for 24 years. Intermediate treatments were those which had plow for 17 years and then were either, in the one case, followed by no-till for 7 years or followed by chisel plow for 7 years. And my point simply is this, that on this particular soil, it is much easier to show a dramatic and significant difference in total soil carbon captured when the conventional tillage system is chisel. But when the conventional tillage system is plow, then we find a very difficult time proving significant gains with the no-till system relative to conventional. Emerson's graduate student, Jeff Coulter, is doing a very, very nice study looking at residue removal. And I show this here just to break away from these other rotation experiments and just to make the point that sometimes maize yields or corn yields increase dramatically in the no-till system if all of the residue is harvested. And this shows the differences here. When all of the residue is removed versus this situation here, for instance, where all of the residue is kept. So going back to this whole point about no-till and continuous corn, and in experiments which have high yield levels for corn, it's definitely a problem. We also have soybean disease complexes that we're concerned about in the soybean side of the rotation study. So we've been looking recently at soybean cyst nematode as well as sudden death syndrome. And the interesting thing here is that cyst nematode levels are lower in no-till soybeans that are grown in rotation. But in the monoculture system, the differences due to tillage are rather minor. This has been expanded now to look at the interaction in SCN and SDS for the last 2 years for the four tillage systems that are part of this trial. And my point here simply is that these top two figures are the soybean cyst response and the bottom two figures are the SDS. And I simply want to make the point that when you have high cyst nematode levels, then it's also possible that you will pick up more SDS symptoms. And the highest concentrations of SCN and SDS are typically showing up in the moldboard plow and chisel plow plots, and the lowest concentrations showing up in the no-till and the ridge plots, which have the least disturbance. So there is a disease complex issue. In our case, it seems that we are gaining some degree of control of the soil-borne pathogens simply with a continuous no-till program. A few conclusions then. The corn yield advantage in response to rotation soybean yields with soybean tends to be lower in the last 10 years than an earlier decade. So why is that? And is some of the farmer adoption of continuous corn in the Corn Belt now a reflection of the fact that they weren't losing as much yield now as they might have in earlier decades, even with adequate nitrogen? And that's a question that I'd like to leave later for discussion. The other, but I should point out that this is only true for intensively tilled systems. It's only true for the mow board and chisel plow. It's not true for no-till. The no-till yield depression of continuous corn has stayed flat in the last three or four decades on those soils where that occurs. As we pointed out in the Ohio studies, the no-till did reasonably well right at the very beginning, and in some cases even in the continuous corn situation. No-till and corn and soybean yields relative to moreboard plowing has increased with time, but yield depressions with no-till corn after corn have persisted over time at all sites except for the Wooster, Ohio silt loam soil. Rotation by tillage interactions for crop response are primarily a function of the additional stress associated with no-till corn after corn. Otherwise, we typically see less of a difference due to rotation. The Ohio research really demonstrates that soil organic matter levels can still continue to increase in near the surface with continuous no-till over a 40-year, even with, let's say, a 40-year history. Corn yields are approximately 10% higher after oats plus meadow. Whether it's a function of oats plus meadow or whether it's a function of having an additional break crop year is something that Joe raised earlier. And the Indiana research suggests very small soil carbon and nitrogen differences due to tillage and rotation basis on a soil mass equivalent basis, and no significant tillage by rotation interactions for these particular properties when we looked at the no-till and moldboard plow systems. And continuous no-till resulted in reductions in both in certain soil-borne pathogens. And I think that crop rotation experiments are, when they incorporate a range of tillage treatments, are more relevant to conservation-minded cropping systems in the Corn Belt region than are crop rotation studies that do not include a tillage element. Because as you saw in the data, quite often the tillage difference surpasses the rotation difference. Thank you.